Good morning. Brother Luke had asked us to read from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, verses 18 to 30. Luke, chapter 18, verses 18 to 30. I thank you, brethren, for coming and worshiping with us today. You challenged us. What's your view of the gospel of Jesus Christ? I would tell you how we look at missions is a direct correlation of how we view the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you think the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power, the dynamite of God unto salvation? Do you believe it? Do you believe it can change lives? Do you believe the gospel can take a broken, unloved, unfixable life and make it white as snow? Do you believe it? Is the gospel of Jesus Christ precious to you? Do you see value in it? One of the prerequisites to having a heart for mission is a high view of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God, the dynamite of God unto salvation. Will you give everything that you have to uphold it and tell out to others? God help us that we might have a high view of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Reading from Luke 18, beginning at verse 18. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, and that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother." And he said, "All these things I have kept from my youth up." Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, "Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And they heard it said, "Who then can be saved?" And he said, "The things which are impossible with men are possible with God." Then Peter said, "Lo, we have left all, and we have followed thee." And he said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left his house, or his parents, or his brethren, or his wife, or his children, for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time, and in the world to come, life everlasting." Let's kneel for prayer.
We bring your Christian greetings this morning in the name of our Lord and our Savior, and I believe our soon coming King. We've enjoyed the service thus far, and we trust that the Lord will continue to minister to us this morning through His Holy Spirit. Brother Ray asked me pretty soon after coming in, what is the name of the congregation where we are from? And that is a question that I, probably one of the most dreaded questions I have as I go out and visit. because nobody knows us by our name. He asked me, he says, are you from Blue Rock? Well, once we could say yes, but we sold the Blue Rock Meeting House, and we now meet at the Williamson Meeting House. But I would guess the official name of our congregation is Fellowship Independent Brethren, but very few people know us by that name. I've thought already, what is the importance of a name? And it may seem rather unimportant, but it does give us a little bit of an idea where we are from. We know you folks over here as the Pleasant Hill Brethren, and I've known that as a child growing up. So it's good you've kept the name the same, because it makes a little less confusion for those growing up as to what is the name of your congregation. I was asked by Brother Brian some time back if we would share in the service this morning and this evening, and he mentioned that it was a Mission Sunday with messages geared toward that. And the message this morning, as I considered the thought of missions, and the message this morning may not seem to go quite along with that, but brothers and sisters, I believe very strongly that before we are ready to share God's word, before we are ready to serve in mission work, there is something that needs to happen with inside of each one of us. There needs to be a complete surrender, a complete selling out, a complete dedication to our Lord and our Savior and the kingdom of heaven that he spoke so much about here and as he was on this earth. And so as I considered what to share with you this morning, I've entitled the message, Three Half-Hearted Followers. You know, there's people who get excited about something, they join up with a club or a group, but they're never fully committed. And in the church, we have that happening today. And Jesus had it as he was walking this earth, as he was teaching, as he was discipling men and women, boys and girls on the kingdom of heaven. He had those who followed him as a curiosity, wondering what he was going to do next, wondering what this was going to end up like. And they followed him, but not wholeheartedly. There's some young fellows here this morning, and young girls as well, and even some of us older ones, we enjoy playing a game of ball. Last Friday night, out our way, there was a softball game. And those that know me know that I like to play softball. And I told my wife, I said, I don't think I'm going to play this evening. It was on the way there, I said, I don't think I'm going to play. I said, I think we'll just let the younger ones play. Well, I got there and I took my glove just in case. And I got there, and they didn't have enough people, so, well, surely I'll fill in. But I said, we usually play two games. I said, I'll only play one game. Long story short, I played both games, and I have not yet figured out how to play half-heartedly. I play with all I have. And that is the kind of dedication that Jesus wants to see in his people. But he did not always have that kind of dedication out of his followers. As I had Brother Brian read from Luke chapter 18, the account of the rich young ruler, we're not going to look at that real much, but we may refer back to that a bit as we go along this morning. I want to look at a couple verses in Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62. This is where we find Jesus running into or having interaction with three different followers of his. Luke chapter 9, 57 through 62 says, and it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go and bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, if I were to say those words this morning, if I were to preach those words this morning, I think it would be pretty hard, pretty harsh. But this was none other than Jesus Christ himself that said these words this morning. If we're going to win souls for Christ, brothers and sisters, we cannot be half-hearted in our approach to Jesus Christ. We see here this morning that there was one. As Jesus was walking down the way, it says they went in the way, or they were walking down the road. It says a certain man came to him and said, Lord, I'm going to follow you wherever you go. Now, if we were to back up in this chapter, we would see that Jesus had fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. We would read there the account where Jesus was transfigured. Some amazing things happened there. Moses and Elijah appeared, and there were a few select that got to see this. No doubt the story spread. There's quite a few things were going on in the previous part of this chapter. And perhaps this follower was following Jesus and he was excited. Some things had happened. And you know, as we go through our lives and we hear messages, we see things that are happening. we hear testimony of what God has done for certain people and in their lives, and we get excited and we say, we're going to follow Jesus. We're going to be part of what's going on here. We want to get in on the action. We don't want to sit on the bench and watch the game. We want to be part of the action. It looks like it's going pretty good. This looks exciting. And perhaps this man, as he was walking down the road, he wanted to get in on the action. He thought, Jesus is the one I want to follow. He seems to have things going pretty well. But Jesus had some words for him. And I appreciate the water. Seems like I take a lot of water when I'm speaking. Jesus had some words for him. He says, Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. In other words, he told this follower who excitedly, perhaps having an emotional response to what was going on, he got excited and he says, I want to be part of this. I want to follow you. And Jesus simply turned and looked at him and he said, Sometimes the animals have it better than we do. You know, this is not a parable. This is an actual happening. This man was a real person. It says he was a certain man. No doubt Jesus knew him. He knew his name. There could have been a name associated with this certain man. But when it come to what this man was looking for, the excitement and his response, Jesus made it clear that earthly accommodations are limited. In fact, the animal kingdom has it better than Jesus' followers do by times. So what is our response, brothers and sisters? We heard this morning the word, I noticed the term culture was used several times. And we have a culture that we live in as Anabaptist people that has been pretty pleasant for us. We have not had to suffer and endure the hardships that many people who are followers of Christ have had to endure. We do not go home and crawl in a hole to find lodging. You know, did you ever think about what a fox lives in? I've seen a few fox dens in my life. I've crawled back in some rocks where animals lived, and it's not a very pleasant place. Yet Jesus says, I don't even have that by times. I don't even have a place to hide. And our brothers and sisters in other parts of this world, and perhaps even some places in this country, do not have accommodations anywhere close to what we experience. Would we follow Jesus if we did not have the comforts that we have now? Birds of the air, he says, have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. There's evangelistic crusades take place. They draw crowds. People will respond to Christ and they say, Lord, I will follow you. Yet, Jesus says, I can't even promise you the comforts of a fox or a bird. In Matthew 13, we could find there, if we turn back, we won't at this time, but in Matthew 13 there, the parable of the sower and the seed, it reminds me the seed that fell on stony ground. His seed that falls on ground that is warmed early because of the shallowness of the soil, because of the rocks that are underneath. Some of you around here that are farmers probably do not understand what it is like to farm on stony ground, but I grew up on a rocky farm. And when the dirt is covering the rocks, it's the first soil to warm in the spring. And you plant corn and it's some of the first corn to come up. Because the soil is shallow, it's warm, the seed germinates, and it's quick to come up. But it is also the first corn to be dying at this time of year because there's no moisture left, because it's hot, because there's a lot of adversity in the field. It's also the first to wither away. And I believe that is what Jesus is warning this would-be follower of his. He says, you're excited now, but what about when the heat is turned up? What about when the droughts come and there's no root? This is a shallow approach. An emotional approach to the call of Jesus is a shallow approach. And brothers and sisters, we cannot afford that. We must wholeheartedly serve Jesus. Jesus is looking for a response of faith. We turn in our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. I would like to read a couple verses there. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 7 through 16. It says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promises in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city whose foundation, for he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even up of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly, where God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Jesus desires a response of faith, not of emotion, not a response born out of emotion and our feelings, but of faith. Noah and Abraham and Moses, they did not act upon God's call based on their emotions, but they obeyed God's call in faith. They did not give up when things got difficult. Do we follow God as a stranger and a pilgrim? Things got difficult, and things will get difficult for us, and it will not always be easy. But the Lord has called us. Will we follow Him? We go on down to verse 59, there in Luke chapter 9. If you all don't mind, I'm going to move this over here. God made my left hand to work better than my right. In verse 59, Jesus is continuing on down the road. It would seem like this was immediately following the first man that came. And he says to another, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father." And Jesus said unto him, "Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God." Jesus says to another man, he says, "Follow me." And the response from this man is, "I will, but later. It doesn't really suit me right now." He says, "Let me go first and bury my father." And Jesus had what seems to be very cruel words when he says, "Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of heaven." Now, this may seem rather cruel to us, but remember that whatever Jesus said, whatever he did, was right. It was good. And Jesus never said anything that he should not have said. He says, "Let the dead bury the dead." This man was not opposed to following Jesus. Jesus said to him, he says, "Follow me." And he says, "I will, but later." He says, "I got some things I need to do." Perhaps this man wanted to wait until his parents were gone. I don't know. Is it possible that this man's father had just died and he wanted to bury him, wanted to wait till the funeral was over? I don't know. But it's very likely that this man's father had not yet passed away. And this makes me think of the response that we may have to a call of God. "Well, let me take care of some things that I want to take care of first." The Bible says that we are to honor and respect and to obey our parents. And this is true, and I'm not diminishing that fact. We are commanded to love our parents and to honor them, and there's not an age limit placed on that. However, when God calls, we must not let our parents, we must not let our family stand in the way. Perhaps this man wanted to wait until his parents were gone and his responsibility to them were passed. Some have speculated that he wanted to settle the estate and to receive his inheritance, and then he would be able to come. I'm not sure what exactly was going on here, but it exposes the tendency that we may have to put our family's approval above God's call. Brothers and sisters, if we are called to follow God, and we have been called to follow Jesus, we must not let our parents, our families, stand in the way. Remember, I am not suggesting that we violate the commands to respect and to honor our parents, but that we follow God's call even beyond what our parents, our children, our families may think. Do you think that as Abraham was called to leave and to go to a place he didn't even know where he was going, how do you think that conversation may have went as he went to his father and says, "You know, I'm going to be leaving this place. God has called me to go somewhere." And the father looks at his father, looks at him and says, "Well, where are you going?" He said, "I don't know. God has called me, and so I'm going." I can't imagine that wasn't met with some resistance. But Abraham, by faith, followed where God called him to go, irregardless of what his family and parents may have thought. Matthew chapter 10 and verses 37 and through 39 says, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." Our family ties must not stand in the way of following God's call. What will our parents think? What will my children think? What will my siblings, my brothers and sisters, what are they going to think of me if I do what God has asked me to do? This is something that we, as for the most part, brothers and sisters, we have not had to consider, because our parents and our family are in support of us following Jesus. In fact, most of us here this morning have had parents that encouraged us and taught us and instructed us to follow Jesus and also showed us how to follow Jesus. But not everybody has it that good. How would it be for you? How would it be for me if my parents, if my siblings ridiculed me for following Jesus? Do you think Noah, as he went and built that ark, had to endure any ridicule from his own family? I would say it's very likely that some of those that were ridiculing him were of his own flesh and blood. Jesus says, "Let the dead bury the dead," or "Let those who are spiritually dead take care of the dead." He says, "But you go and preach the kingdom of God." If you respond with the answer that you will follow Christ once your parents are gone and your duty to them is over, and the estate is settled and all is well, Jesus is classifying you here this morning as the spiritually dead. Not all who care for their parents are spiritually dead, but we cannot let our family ties prevent us from obeying the call of Christ to follow me. Abraham left it all behind. Joseph was advised by his parents to ignore his calling. His own brothers sold him into slavery, and the list can go on. So I ask the question, who is standing in the way of you hearing God's call? Who is standing in the way of you answering God's call? Then we go down to the last two verses of Luke chapter 9, 61 and 62. "And there was another man. He come along and says, and another also said, 'Lord, I will follow thee. But let me first go and bid them farewell, which are at home in my house.' And Jesus said unto him, 'No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God.'" You cannot start and then look back and have God's blessing. We cannot follow Jesus on our own terms. The servant does not set the terms of his service. This man wanted to came to Jesus, and he said, "I'll follow you." Perhaps he was there when the second man said, "I'll follow you," but later. And here comes along follower number three. Since we don't have names, we'll just call him follower number three. And he says, I'll follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell which are at home. The follower, the servant, does not set the terms of his service. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20 have some of these words in them. It says, ye are not your own. Ye are bought with a price. Brothers and sisters, as followers of Jesus, as servants of God, we are not our own. We do not set the terms. We are bought with a price. And when Jesus says, follow me, we must follow him on his timing and on his terms. The third man here is asking for a little time to go back and to say goodbye. I believe that what Jesus is warning us here of is the pull to return to familiar surroundings. I've never been out of this country for long. I did go down to Jamaica about a year and a half ago. We enjoyed our time. We enjoyed our trip down there. We were there for a week. But you know, it was pretty good to come back home. There's very unfamiliar surroundings down there. And as Christians, as people, we find a tendency, a desire sometimes to return to our familiar surroundings. This man said, I'll follow Jesus. I'll follow him. But I need to go say goodbye at home. I need to go take care of some things at home yet. I want to just go back for a little bit, but then I'll be coming. You know, the children of Israel, they followed God until they missed the familiar surroundings that were in Egypt. And we may start out, but return to the things that we are most comfortable with. Jesus seems to call us out of our comfort zone. Amos 6 and verse 1 says, woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. Again, in Hebrews, what we have already read over, verses 13 through 16, does not describe people who have started out and turned back. It says that these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in this earth. Brothers and sisters, do you see yourself as a stranger and a pilgrim in this world? Or do we feel just pretty comfortable here? Jesus says, no man putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Strong words, but they're the words of our Lord. No man having started out and turning back is fit. We must keep our eyes forward, keep our sights ahead. As a boy at home on the farm, I pretty early on was sent out to work ground, to work in the fields, to mow hay, various things we did in the fields. And one of the things my father taught me was the importance, if you want to cut a straight windrow with the hay bond, you don't be looking behind all the time. You got to keep your eyes ahead. Pick out a point at the end of the field and keep your eye on that, and you can cut a straight line. It says here in Hebrews 11, it says that they endured as seeing those things that were afar off. There in verse 13 is what I wanted. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, they were persuaded of them and embraced them. Brothers and sisters, can we embrace whatever it is that comes our way this morning? Will we follow Jesus? Will we answer his call and embrace it no matter what may come along the way. Looking back is a dangerous thing. Jesus said in Luke 17 and verse 32, he simply says, remember Lot's wife. An Old Testament example of one who was called out, called to leave the city of Sodom, called to salvation from destruction, but she turned around and looked back. Brothers and sisters, we cannot be looking back. When Jesus calls us to follow him, our yes must be by faith. We don't know what's going to be coming. We don't know what the future holds, but our yes must be in faith. When we say, yes, Lord, I will accept your plan of salvation, it's important that we also accept him as Lord of our life. Even though we do not know the future, our yes must be by faith. It must be without distraction. Our yes must be undivided and with no mind to turn back to what we left. Anything less than this, and God says sadly, they are not fit for the kingdom of heaven. And you may wonder, what does this have to do with missions? Well, brothers and sisters, anything less than a fully committed following of Jesus Christ will leave us ineffective in his service. He says, you're not fit. Those who follow Jesus without reservation are plainly showing that we're seeking a better country. A country that's not divided. A country with no sickness. A country where there's peace. We are looking for something better. And the reward, brothers and sisters, is one of the most beautiful verses in the Bible. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Those who follow Jesus with no reserve, those who follow him undivided, without looking back, those who follow him with no shame, have the reward where God is not ashamed to be called their God. Can you identify this morning as a stranger and a pilgrim with Christ? Or are your roots too firmly planted here in this earth? Are they too firmly planted right where you're at that the Lord just can't really move you if he needed to? Jesus calls you to follow him. There are basically three basic calls that Jesus gave. He called us to come. We did not really look at that this morning. We looked at it this morning more at the second call, to follow. And tonight, Lord willing, we'll look at the third call, the call to go. Before we're ready to go, we must first answer the call to come and the call to follow. So I would like to challenge you again this morning that we would take his answer his call to follow him. And let's follow him with all that we have. We'll bring the message to a close and turn the time back over to the brethren.
Have we been convicted this morning of how we view people? How we love people, how we treasure the gospel. And a desire to share it. And if we're half-hearted, maybe we don't think we are, at least all the time, hopefully not. But it creeps in. So let's let the Holy Spirit continue to work these things in our hearts, take them seriously in how we live each day for the Lord and look at others. Let's stand for closing prayer at this time.